Welcome to the Cutter's Notch Podcast, a program created by Michael DeCamp, the author of Abandon Hope, a Cutter's Notch novel. Recorded in the Cutter's Notch Studios, this podcast is focused on all things creative, with special forays into books and matters of faith. Join Michael as he catches up with an author, a songwriter, a painter, a comedian, or anyone working or supporting a creative endeavor. So turn up the volume, listen, and catch up on what's happening in Cutter's Notch.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast. I'm Michael DeCamp, your host, and I am excited for episode, I believe this is episode 6. So I have a guest that's very special to me. I had one a couple of podcasts back that, kind of is more special to me because that was my wife, but this one's pretty close because she's my daughter. And we're going to be talking in a few minutes about social media and how social media can be used by the creative people to promote their creations. So we're going to get into that in a couple of minutes. But let me just start off with a couple of things. I usually start off with something about a book that meant something to me. And I want to tell you a little bit about a book. It's a series, actually, by Francine Rivers. And the name of the series is The Mark of the Lion. The Mark of the Lion series.
It's a trilogy.
That's right. And the first one is A Voice in the Wind. But it follows a young Jewish girl who is actually a Christian in first central Jerusalem. And she gets taken as a slave to Rome. And it's about her trying to live as a Christian in decadent Rome, working as a slave with really no rights. And it's sometimes very intense, but it will challenge, your thinking about what it means to be a Christian. So I would recommend The Mark of the Lion series. I should be able to use words.
Just say trilogy.
It's a trilogy. The Mark of the Lion series. I'll read you the little blurb here. It says, torn by her love for a handsome aristocrat, a young slave girl clings to her faith in the living God for deliverance from the forces of decadent Rome. So A Voice in the Wind is book one in the Francine Rivers Mark of the Lion series. So I would recommend that you pick that up. Did you like that book?
I loved the trilogy. I read it between my sophomore year and junior year of college. I went to Harding University, by the way. I am his daughter. My name is Andrea DeCamp.
Hello, Andrea.
Yes, not to be confused with the other daughter, Angela DeCamp.
We'll have her on at some point because yes. she's the painter in the family.
She is the painter, yes. But I read those at a time where I was, I felt kind of lost emotionally, and I read them and they were very, very helpful for me, both spiritually and because I hadn't sat down and read books that just captured me in and, I couldn't put them down. Essentially, I read through all three very quickly.
Yeah.
So they have my Andrew DeCamp stamp of approval.
Well, and that's important. That's yes. important. And I got to tell you, as a guy who likes action fiction, my go-to for fun reading is, Jack Reacher. Or
yes,
or maybe the last podcast I talked about the Walt Longmire series. Mm-hmm. Looking at this book, you would think that as a guy, it wouldn't be one that I would be really interested in because it's a young yeah. woman, kind of in that romantic looking kind of aura of book covers.
And but if you think about. Excuse me. If you think about Francine Rivers, one of her other books has to do with a love story. And so if you're thinking, oh, it's probably the same as that, it's different. Yeah. I forget what that book is called.
Well,
but I could see where someone would look at it and be like, oh, I don't know.
But in all fairness, if you look at all three books in total, it really is, in a sense, it's a love story hidden inside a faith struggle.
With adventure.
Adventure and action and and all of that. But in the grand scheme of things, there's this love story with the young girl, with a young man. And then there's also her love story with God and her trying to basically be able to live that out in a society that made it very hard to live that out.
Yeah. So that and a love story in the sense of love of your friends and your family, you know?
Yeah.
There's the romantic love, but there's also a lot of really interesting and cool moments that show love of family or friends or people you work for, that kind of thing.
Even when it's people you work for that are difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she works for some very difficult people in this story and still manages to treat them basically with love. So, well, hey, we didn't bring you on here to spend lots of time talking about the Francine Rivers series, but
I enjoy them.
we wanted to bring Andrea on, or I wanted to bring Andrea on, because Andrea is a professional.
I'm a social media professional. So I do social media marketing and, basically look at the backside of doing social media. I exist on almost all
all platforms,
and I really, really find them interesting, and I think that you can have a lot of fun with it.
Let's talk about what are the different platforms. Let's name some of them.
There are a lot, but I'll give the big ones.
Okay.
So obviously there's Facebook. So most people today, at least in the United States, exist on Facebook. It's kind of what social media professionals consider the king of social media. And there's that.
Right.
Which leads me to Instagram. Instagram is a photo-based social platform that you can only really use on your phone or iPad or that kind of thing. You can look at it on a screen, but you can't really utilize it well.
Yeah,
but you can't really utilize it well unless you're using a mobile device of some kind.
Right.
But it's owned by Facebook.
Okay.
Which is why I say leading to. So they have connections there. And then there's Twitter, which I like to think of as more of like a ongoing conversation.
Okay.
It's a place where you connect with people from all over on different topics, whether it's something you're passionate about. It could be quilting, for all I know, or politics, or religion, or books, or movies, or TV shows, anything really. You can find a community on Twitter to engage with people, whether they're really famous or whether they're your next door neighbor.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a cool...
Yeah, I really think it's fun when you can engage with a famous person on Twitter and it's actually them engaging.
Well, and a lot of them are not, when it comes to famous people on Twitter, some of them have more control over what they put on social media, but also some of them shouldn't have control. Well, just because you think about, the kind of stuff that you put online, if you want it to be, social media is what you make of it. And if you want it to be an exact like image of who you are day to day, then by all means, let everything out. But if you want it to be something where you connect with your fans and focus on the information, the think projects you're involved in, that kind of thing, then you'll want to kind of shape it in that way.
Yeah. If you're trying to create a specific image, you want to be very controlled about what you put on.
Which is why a lot of famous people have agents, managers, public relations professionals.
And social media professionals who focus on this.
Because they think about that.
Right. Okay, so that's Facebook and that's Instagram and Twitter.
Another one I really enjoy lately is TikTok.
Oh, no, there's one I haven't heard of.
So you remember Vine? the video.
Right. Yeah.
So TikTok is similar, but it's more imperfect, which is what makes it so fun. It's a short form video platform, and I've really enjoyed getting onto it. People have a lot of fun with it. There's really creative people, and there's really funny people, and there's trends that happen, and they happen so quickly. Like, you have to be on top of it, where people are doing dances to certain songs. It's a lot of fun.
Vine was videos, but it was very, very short, like,
yeah, what, 6 seconds? 6 seconds for Vine, but TikTok can be 15 seconds or a minute. So it's still short form, but it's a little longer than
Okay.
Vine. Right, and so it's not like in a square. It's a rectangle view.
Okay. So a little wider angle.
No. Up and down.
Oh, up and down.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
So it's like, you know, if you're taking a normal photo on your or video on your phone, that's essentially the view you have.
Okay. Okay, so that's a new one. What else you got?
Well, there's Tumblr, which is not as prominent as it used to be, but it's like a weblog platform where people can go and repost images or post blog posts or different things like that. Again, it's very community-based, so you can get involved in different conversations and follow different blogs, but it's all in one space. Mm-hmm. There's Pinterest, which is different from the rest because...
Now, see, that's one that I've heard of, but I don't really understand.
So Pinterest, think of the name pin and interest.
Okay.
So when they say you have these boards on Pinterest, what you're doing is you're pinning your take. It's like if you had a one of those cork boards where you pin pictures or recipes or things like that. That's essentially what it is, only online.
Okay.
And there are tons of ideas and recipes and projects and crafts and quotes and anything you could think of.
So you create these bulletin boards, basically.
Yes.
They
call them
cyber boards.
Yeah.
You can share those with people so other people can see what are on your board.
So people can follow you. You can follow them. But then also, you know, every social media platform has an algorithm behind the way they do things. So you have to have that in mind when you're using it. Now, I mean, I do that because it's professionally, I think about that and how that it will affect what I'm putting out there. But when you're just having fun, it's fine. The biggest thing is engaging. So you're going to find, based on what you have chosen as interests or based on things that you have pinned onto a board in the past, they're going to show similar things to that on your homepage.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very project based. They have a large population of users who are, I would say moms or women in their 20s, 30s, that kind of thing. I'm not saying men aren't on there. There are plenty of men on there. I'm just saying their demographic generally is that because they're often making the recipes and doing crafts and things like that. So there's this part where you can say, oh, I tried this and here's how it turned out.
Yeah. I signed up for Pinterest probably 2 or 3 years ago and I had 2 or 3 people immediately follow me. Mm-hmm. And they've been very disappointed because I've done absolutely nothing with it.
It's okay.
Cause I really just frankly just didn't really understand the concept of that one. So what are some others?
So there's Pinterest, there's YouTube, which is...
I never really thought of them as a social media site. So is that...
I know, because it is in the sense that you can connect with other creators. But YouTube can be... I mean, it's existed longer than Facebook, I think. I mean, I have to check the actual numbers, but I've been watching YouTube videos since I was in... middle school.
Yeah. Well, I know it's been around a long, long time.
But it's a longer form video. I mean, it was short form at the time when it was created, but basically you create a video and you put it out there, and then people who are users can like it, they can favorite it, they can comment on it, they can share it. Mm-hmm. And so in the sense that you can connect with a community, it is a social platform.
You kind of, you can create your own YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I believe
you can create your own YouTube channel, and you can get followers. People get really creative on there. It's a lot of fun.
And a little crazy.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Yes.
Now another one that I use sometimes, is LinkedIn.
Yep. LinkedIn is a good one. It's a professional based social platform. So it's a networking. It's like if you're at a networking event for whatever it is you do, only online, You're connecting with other professionals. You're put all of your experience on there. It's like almost like an online resume. So If that bores you, I'm sorry, but it's also very helpful. I mean, I've found jobs and connected with people.
Well,
because of it,
because of my background professionally, I have, 600 or 700 connections on LinkedIn. And I've found as I post things about my book, I've actually gotten, probably as much play on my book from LinkedIn as I have from Facebook.
But LinkedIn is like a secret gym.
Yes. But you do need to keep it professional.
Oh yeah.
On that site. Whereas, with Facebook and Twitter and some other things, people get pretty, unprofessional.
Sure. But I would LinkedIn also is meant say
to be more, stay more
being professional within the realm that you exist in.
Okay. That's fair.
Because the way that I'm professional on LinkedIn is going to look different than someone who's a photographer or a videographer. It's just going to be different.
Right.
And that's okay. Like mine also exists differently than an accountant. I'm not going to be posting the same kind of things as an accountant on LinkedIn.
You can
and
count
that's
on that.
Okay. Yes. And that's okay.
Okay. So are there any other social media sites that you feel like that we should at least mention them? And then, I think we'll spring into, what really is the best platforms for creative people?
There's also Snapchat.
Okay.
Snapchat is what
I was forbidden by my daughters from getting a Snapchat.
You weren't forbidden. I just advised against it unless you felt like you had people you would connect with on there.
Right.
But Snapchat is what the industry would call dark social. So, and I don't mean that in the sense of bad. I just mean that dark social is something that exists behind the scenes. So you can send a video directly to a friend. They have a section where you can post a story, which Instagram has this feature as well, that you share it with all of your friends. But Snapchat exists solely so you can send personally photos, videos, messages. You can video call people that you're connected with on there. But it's a lot of fun, and they have a whole bunch of filters and
like the bunny ears and
the bunny ears or the
dog snouts and the stars and
things like that. Yeah. Which oftentimes people will take photos on the Snapchat filters, download them and repost them on Instagram stories.
Right.
So,
well, I've noticed on my Instagram, if I swipe the right direction, I can take a picture of myself and do all those filters right on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah. Instagram has their own version of them.
You won't be seeing me post anything with those, but
why not?
Because I don't know. I just don't want bunny ears or dog snouts.
Well, as long as it's because you're not what you want.
Stars around me. When you're talking about, I suppose, depending on what kind of creative person you are, the different formats might find different usefulness.
Sure.
So how can a creative person decide what format is best for them to promote their work?
Well, I mean, so you gotta look at what you're doing, right?
So I'm an author. So
yeah. So you're an author. So it might be helpful for you to be on Twitter to engage with other authors or for people who are your readers to follow you. But again, my biggest thing is go where you are going to connect with people. Someone who has more visual art is going to benefit more from Instagram or TikTok or something like that, someplace that they can really show off that in particular.
Okay.
But someone who has more written will benefit from places that really lift that up higher.
Things like, well, I mean, as an author, like I have a Facebook page.
Yeah. Facebook's great for that. I mean, they say you want to include a photo, but you can do that. I mean, include a photo or include writing, do both. Yeah. You can play around with it.
Well, no, that's actually a little bit of an important point. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of folks on Facebook or Twitter, mm-hmm. It's not true on Instagram because Instagram is photo based, mm-hmm. but on Facebook and Twitter, it's real easy to just type in whatever you want to say and hit send, but you'll get more attention. Is it fair to say that you'll get more attention if you include some sort of a photo?
Generally? Yeah. Yeah. I would say so. And some people like that. Some people don't. I think it just depends on the type of community you have. You know, again, each platform has an algorithm behind them. So if someone likes more posts that don't have photos, they're probably going to see more posts that don't have photos.
because what they like. They hit the little like button. Yes. And so the algorithm picks that up.
Yeah. So they keep track of that kind of thing. And they're like, okay, so based on their interests here, they'll probably like this. So for example, if you realize that you have a bunch of friends on Facebook, but you only see them out, it's because you engage with them the most.
Right.
And so you engaging with them puts a signal to the social platform saying, okay, they like this content. We'll keep showing it to them.
Right. Right. Yeah. So that whole thing of, you know, this thing that passes around Facebook all the time where, you know, if you just copy and paste this thing and all of a sudden it opens up all these other people, isn't that really just a chain letter?
It's just a chain letter. I mean, it says something like comment on my post, which in that sense, yes, that'll help you.
That creates the algorithm.
Yeah. Because they're engaging with that person. But just simply copy and pasting a status isn't really going to do much.
No. In fact, that's just a cheesy way to get somebody's little creative writing passed around all over the internet.
Yeah. So. And honestly, I personally am not a big fan of the copy and paste posts, but well, I think there's some, I think there's some that are fun, you know. Mm-hmm.
I refuse to do it. If I read a post I think's really interesting or cool and it says at the bottom, it says, if you like this, copy and paste it.
Why don't I just share your post?
It's like, no, I'm not, you know, well, you know, it's some sort of game, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like the chain letters or the chain emails or things like that. Like I will die at 3 p.m. if you don't share this by 2 p.m. It's like, if you die at 3 p.m., that's really, really sad.
And it had nothing to do with
it. But it had nothing to do with me sharing. Well,
the one I get the ones where, you know, okay, in one word, tell me how we met, you know, and it's like, okay, I'd be fun.
Yeah.
I'd like to participate.
Yeah, that's fun.
Then it ends with copy and paste this to your page. And if you're not going to participate, then don't bother.
I'm like, okay, bye.
Okay. You know, I guess I won't do it. I mean, I'd really like to have commented on it, but it's like, sure.
What I usually do is I just comment on it and then I don't copy and paste it. Cause if they're mad at me for not copy and pasting, then that's a them problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, let's go back to the whole thing of selecting the right format. So let's just talk about me as an author. So, you know, I'm trying to get people to notice my book. What are probably the best formats for me to be focused on? Does it pay for me to be in all of them, or should I focus my energy more in a smaller network of?
My mindset is, I mean, it doesn't necessarily hurt to be on all of them, but I would say go where you know you're going to put effort. You know, if you're just going to have a Pinterest or an Instagram and you're never going to do anything with them, then why have them? because if you're not in a place where you have someone to manage those for you, then you don't want to bother wasting energy on something that you're not going to want to do anyways. So that's first. Next is find places that you know you can connect with a community, because essentially that's what social media is really cool for, is you find people who have similar interests with you and you can connect with them on that. Mm-hmm. So whether that's using Twitter, I mean, I follow a whole bunch of authors and I follow a whole bunch of people who challenge my worldview. And I just think it's really interesting because sometimes I engage with them and I'm like, how in the world are you paying attention to me? But the fact that I have this community of people and we interact with each other is helpful to me. Now, when it comes to artists and authors and musicians and that kind of thing, I think go where you can connect with people best and where your strengths are. You know, I mean, you want to be challenged in life, but you also want to use the skills you have. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And you don't want to go somewhere and then it be completely stressful and it takes all the energy away from your actual art and into social media, you right. know? Plus, sometimes social media can be stressful to be part of. So you want to be mindful of that.
Right.
But also just trying and testing it and interacting with people.
How do you build a network? How do you build a network on, let's say Twitter? Let's just talk about Twitter. You know, I've had a Twitter account sure. for a number of years.
Yeah. Just
for those of you listening, you know, I have a Facebook page you can follow. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram mm-hmm. and I'm on LinkedIn on a fairly regular basis.
Yeah.
So I can be found on all those formats, but
yeah,
let's just start with, Twitter. How do I build a network? How do I get people to follow me on Twitter? I mean, I've got 100, almost 200 sure, followers. That's not sure. very many on Twitter. No. I really need a lot more, but how do you do that?
You engage. Okay. It says that's a very simple way of saying interact with other people. But also one thing that I saw, I follow this guy named Matt Kobach and he does social media, but he posts a lot about it on his Twitter account. At least I hope that's his name. I'm not looking at my Twitter right now, but apologies if I get it wrong and you hear this. but he said something that I thought was really interesting is post content that you want to see. So when you're on Twitter and you see like, oh, that's interesting that they're thinking that, like, don't copy that, but think like, okay, what kind of stuff would I want to see on Twitter? What kind of things am I looking for? So engage with people, connect with people, but also post things that you would want to see.
Right. Well, what do you think about this whole thing where, you know, people following people just to get them to follow them back? And you know, I think some of those are bots. I mean, they're just totally automatic are. Things.
Well, and unfortunately, so I don't like that personally, because I build my career on helping companies and organizations build an organic community. I mean, there's some paid social involved, but if you don't have a good community, like if you're going to drive, but you're not going to engage with your community, there's no point in buying followers anyways. Often you see this where people are trying to get clout is what they call it, or attention, or maybe they're in an MLM, which we won't go into that. But oftentimes people will,
for those who don't know, MLM is multi-level marketing.
Yeah. So yeah, which we're not going to get into that.
That's not the topic
today.
That's not.
So. Yeah. But it's something that's encouraged within it, which is why I mention it. Right. Not always. I want to be fair.
Right.
But they will go to these websites and pay for them to follow thousands of people a day. And then if they don't follow you back, automatically unfollow them.
Right.
And it's not necessarily bots, but it's a sneaky way of getting followers. So instead of engaging with people and responding to comments and posting on a regular basis. They're like, I want to sneakily get people to follow me so that I seem like I'm doing well.
Right. Well, typically, you know, I get those and, you know, I'll go to that site. I'll go to that Twitter page or whatever. And yeah. I'll look, kind of scroll down through what their postings are. And if they have interesting stuff
then
that,
yeah,
they're,
why not?
That they're engaging with, then you know, I might follow them. But if not, then I just don't. I just ignore it.
Well,
and
it's,
they go
it's
away
lazy.
In a few days and they disappear off of my follow page. But I want people to follow me because they're interested in what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, and it's a real lazy for them to.
That's who I follow. I follow people that I'm interested in. So,
well, like I say, it's a lazy way to get people connected.
Right.
Instead of actually, you know, going to someone's Instagram account, you know, the thing is, whether it's Instagram or Twitter or anywhere else, the best thing to do to help you is engage. Consistency and engagement. So when you are posting consistent content on the platforms, that will help you, but also engaging with the communities that you want to be a part of. So for example, if you post a yoga video on Instagram, okay?
Right.
And you want to be part of the yoga community on Instagram. The best things you can do is after you have posted and you've posted all these hashtags at the bottom of your caption is go to those hashtags and find people who are already posting, who are doing well, follow them, pay attention to what they're doing, engage with them, comment when you see, but don't force it. Like, find people who inspire you in that area so that you can learn from them and engage with them and create relationships, even if it's online. I mean, take a tip or a lesson from the young people when social media was emerging and they were all developing these friendships with people all over the globe. I mean, it's not necessarily meaning don't be safe, but so many people met, whether it's on chat rooms or on MySpace or whatever else, and they developed to these really cool friendships. I mean, I have. I don't know that you and Mom knew about it, but I had friends that I met on MySpace. but I'm connected with them on Facebook today. Like, they're
so you're still friends with them, and your friendship is completely cyber.
Authentic. Yeah, it's cyber. I mean, it's cyber.
Yeah,
but that's the thing. It's about creating connections.
Right.
And if you want to build a following, you have to engage and you have to put the work in.
Right.
And if you're not getting good responses, maybe analyze that. Look at it. Say, okay, what am I doing here and why is it not working?
Right.
And then how can I shift and, you know, move forward?
Now, there are obviously big organizations have departments that run their social media.
Oh yeah, they have to.
What about, you know, the individual creative person? Are there resources that they can go to get help with their social media that won't cost them millions of dollars? I mean, how do they get help with this? If I'm a local artist or a local writer or wherever, that maybe I'm not technically savvy and I don't really understand all this stuff, who can I go to get some help with that?
Help, do you mean active help or do you mean like just ways to make the life easier?
Yes. So you can answer both questions.
Okay. Well, actively, I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, you can pay attention to what other people are doing and not copy what they're doing, but find inspiration from it. And if you do find inspiration from it, make sure to give credit. That's very important because in social media, people don't give credit when they steal ideas. It's a problem. Anyways, to make your life easier, you can use things like Hootsuite. They have a free version. It's a social media management tool. And so if you know that you are going to release something in like 3 months, and you want to make sure that information gets out on a regular basis, but you don't want to have to actively think about that, you can schedule posts ahead of time. And then you know, it's getting out there, but you don't have to actively think about it constantly. It's like you actively think about it for however long it takes you to put the posts together and schedule them, but you don't have to think about it later. Mm-hmm. It's really nice.
Okay.
But then also you can use tools like TweetDeck, which is a similar thing, but it's specifically for Twitter. And you can also use design tools. So if you're not a designer and if you need help, Canva. Canva is amazing. Man, they should give me sponsorship deals.
Well, you keep talking about them maybe they will.
Well, I love Canva. I actually have the professional version because it just makes my life so much easier. But it's a design tool that you can access online. And it doesn't give you any viruses or anything. Because I know some out there that do. But Canva does not. And it simplifies the design process so that there are templates. There are easy ways to change and adjust things. And then they have preset sizes. So if you want to create a post specifically for Instagram, you know, to announce something or that's designed a certain way for an event or, you know, that you're going to be a part of, Canva is very helpful in that way.
Well, let me ask you this question.
Okay.
If somebody is out there listening to this right now and they were like, hey, you know, I'd like to get some advice on my social media. I'd be willing to pay Andrea DeCamp to give me some advice. Are you for hire?
That's a funny question. I'm always for hire.
How would someone reach you if they wanted to pay you, you know, to give them some advice? How would they reach you?
Well, if you would like a consultation... You can find me on all social platforms. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. Although full disclosure, on Twitter, I get political. So if that bothers you, that you know, you're aware.
You mean you have political views?
I have political opinions. Oh, no.
Oh, man. Well, you're the only one in the country with political views right now.
No way. That's not true at all. But I'm on Instagram. And I have a website.
What's your website?
AndreaMDeCamp.weebly.com because I'm a broke millennial and I didn't pay for a domain name.
AndreaMDeCamp.weebly.com.
Yes. And you can also find me on LinkedIn and connect with me there. I'm also now on girlboss.com and it's a platform that was created for women professionally by Sophia Amoruso. And if you know that name, good for you. She wrote Girl Boss and she started the clothing company Nasty Gal. And she kind of created a media company too. And Girl Boss is specifically to help connect women professionally in a less strict
right,
way.
Right.
So I'm on there as well. Right.
So, and you'd be willing to provide consultation if somebody
I could
for a fee.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Pay her for her work.
Also,
you want to be paid for your book.
Also, I want to
consultation.
I want to point out pay artists, whether they're artists of writing or artists of visual art or artists on social media or, creatives, pay mm-hmm. your photographers and mm-hmm. give them credit. I see that as an issue is, you know, I have a lot of photographer friends on social media and at least in the local indie area. And one of the big issues is people reposting their photos and not giving them credit
right.
because, you know, you have big artists who had them take photos at an event and then they won't tag them. When the artists have all this huge following and group of people that could help mm-hmm. the photographer really yeah. build their business. Right. But
give credit where credit is due.
Is where it's due. It might right. be expensive, but it might be worth what you're getting right. paid, what you're paying for.
So folks out there, if you can find Andrea on all these different formats that she just mentioned. If you have trouble finding her and you would really like to connect with her, you can email me at authormichaeldekamp@gmail.com. Yeah.
You can Google me too.
And she can be Googled.
I Google myself sometimes. I feel like most people do. But I Google myself sometimes just to check SEO, which is short for search engine optimization, to see if I pop up.
That might be another conversation that we have.
Yeah, that's a whole other playing field that I'm still learning, but actively. And it's basically you want what you're putting out on your website or otherwise to pop up first when you're Google searching. So I check to see if my website does. Yeah. And a lot of my stuff, come on, there's another Andrea DeCamp out there, but we do very different things.
You know, there are other Michael DeCamps out there too. If you Google Michael DeCamp, you're going to see a picture. There's an actor/stuntman.
Oh,
yeah. Good looking younger guy, younger than me. And, yeah. There's also a chef up in the Minneapolis area. I keep meaning when I go to Minneapolis to go visit one of his restaurants. I'd love to go in there and say, hey, is Michael DeCamp
is he
in the kitchen today?
Can I meet him?
Yeah, because my name is Michael DeCamp, and I'm kind of like a...
Well, it's kind of like those people who go on Facebook and they search their name and message all of the... So like if I went and I found all the Andrea DeCamps and I put them in one big group message and said, hi, Andrea DeCamp. And, you know, it's like going to all of them.
Right.
Now you might get some backlash, but it'd be a fun experience.
I read a book one time by a professional diver. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what the book was. It was probably about finding some submarine wreck off the coast of the United States. I can't remember. It seems like that's what it was. And I found an email address for him somehow. I'm not sure how I got it, but I emailed him and he actually responded to me.
Yeah.
And initially why he responded to me was because I have the same name as another diver,
a professional diver
that he knew.
Yeah.
Another Mike DeCamp that was a diver. And so he responded to me because of that connection, even though, you know, we don't know each other. So it was, that was kind of cool. That I was able to connect with that author, but author/diver.
That is amazing. See?
Yeah.
See?
So folks out there, if you're in the creative endeavor and you're trying to figure out how to get your social media going, let's give them three primary takeaways. What are the three primary takeaways they need to know to get their social media off the ground?
Consistent content.
Okay. That's one.
Engagement, which that's like the biggest thing.
So don't just throw it out there.
Engage with people.
Okay.
Yes. Because social media is about connection.
Right.
And then three, go where your audience is.
Okay.
And I don't mean that in the sense that like the people who see your stuff are only your audience. This sounds formal. I mean that in the sense, like, go where you know you're going to connect with people or it's going to make it easier.
Right, right. So depending on what your particular creative endeavor is, select your social media platform based on what's the best for your endeavor.
Yeah. Okay. And that doesn't mean that just because you're an author, you can't be on Instagram. It means be creative with it.
Well, I've done that, you know, on Instagram. I had a lot of fun with Instagram for the first year or so of my book. I was taking my book in all kinds of different places and formats, and I would post it and put some sort of caption under it, and then I'd tag the location and put in some hashtags, and it was interesting the places that I got people that liked it, you know, from all over the world. Yeah. So that was really kind of cool, and some of those people follow me, so that's
well,
that's
and you'd fun. Be. Surprised what communities already exist. I mean, even within your local community. I mean, I found, so fun fact, I like yoga. So I occasionally post an Instagram story or two of me doing yoga, and I follow a lot of local
Don't try to look people. At that when you're in a quiet place, because she usually has music tied to
it. Yeah, there's usually music to it. So if you're going to watch it, turn your sound off if you don't want to hear the music. But usually the music playing's good. But there's a large yoga community in Indianapolis, and I've been able to follow and connect with so-called yogis in just the local area. And so you just don't know who you're going to be able to connect with simply by engaging.
Okay. All right. So folks, remember, Andrea DeCamp is open to providing consultation services. You can find her on all the formats, or you can email me at authormicheldecamp@gmail.com. Yes. And I'll get you connected. Now, Andrea, let's switch gears and go to the random question box. The
random question box. You need like a sound effect.
Well, I've got some of those. I could do one right now.
Go for it.
I have to turn it up a little bit, and then we'll do, I don't know what these are. I need to label them.
Well, let's find out. Ooh, cheers for me. I need it.
Yeah.
I deserve it.
Yeah. So let's give her hand.
All right. Oh, okay. My question from the random question box is, which fictional TV or movie character would you love to have lunch with, and why? That's a tough question.
Well, I didn't mean for him to be easy.
Well, I figured as much. I would say maybe, I got to think through all my TV and movies.
Well, I don't have that much time.
I know, I'm trying to.
It's going to be maybe the first one that came to mind.
Well, there were a lot. Maybe we'll go with Elle Woods.
Elle Woods.
Just because I watched Legally Blonde last night. But Elle Woods from Legally Blonde and Legally Blonde 2. And here's why. Elle Woods is strong and determined. And when people doubt her, that's exactly when she starts to thrive. And I really admire that as a character. So it'd be really, I feel like it would be very empowering and encouraging of a conversation, you know, sit over lunch and hear her, you know, up, be passionate about something. I think that's really cool.
Right. Right.
Yeah. What about you, Dad?
Oh, well, you know, the first one that came to mind, I'm not sure I'd really want to do it because it seems like everywhere he goes, things blow up and people get killed and there's a big fight or whatever, but that's Jack Reacher.
Of course.
Not the Tom Cruise Jack Reacher from the movies.
No.
Which, by the way, I feel like that was really poorly cast. Tom Cruise really, you know, he does the action really well. Sure. But if you read any of the books,
yeah,
Jack Reacher is like 6'5", mm-hmm. and he's a big guy.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise is actually a little guy. So, and they make a big deal about how big Jack Reacher is in the book. So that was really a problem I had with that, as much as I enjoyed the movies. But, you know, Jack Reacher's he's an interesting guy. I asked the question one time, you know, if you saw Jack Reacher walking through your neighborhood, would you feel safer because he was there? Or would you get the heck out of there because you knew stuff was about to blow up?
Here's the deal, though, is as someone who has never read or seen anything Jack Reacher, I would probably be like, oh, a random man. And not even think twice about it.
Well, you should read a Jack Reacher book.
I think you gave me one for Christmas.
I did.
Accidentally.
It wasn't accidentally. I bought it on purpose. I hadn't actually read any Jack Reacher yet when I bought it. I think it was called 61 Hours or something. And I didn't realize. Yeah, it was
like the ninth book in the series or something.
Yeah, it was like 9 or 10. I didn't even realize it was a series or something. And then you're like, you know, really, this is like the 10th book in the series. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I've done that two or three times.
It's okay.
So now I try to really pay attention to that and try to get the first in the series if I'm going to do it. But I did end up reading that particular book. So I went back and got the original, the first one. And
you read through until you got to that point.
Yeah. In fact, I'm about due to read another Jack Reacher story. So, that's the first one that came to mind. But again, if he were real, mm-hmm. I'd be a little nervous too, because, you know, terrorists would be barging in, or somebody would start a fight with him and I'd be in the middle of it, or the neighborhood would blow up, you know, something like that. So, I'd, have lunch with him, but quickly.
Yeah. So. Maybe one of those, like in New York City, you grab a hot dog as you're walking through the city and then like you go your separate ways, right? Quickly. A walk-in lunch or like a walking taco, right? You can get away quickly, but you still get nourished.
Yeah, perhaps. Or maybe we have lunch in the middle of the desert where I can see 100 miles in every direction.
So. Or what that tricks you though. I mean,
well, that's true. Okay, folks, we're going to close out now with the verse of the week. And, in this podcast, I try to highlight verses that I think, kind of promote creativity, or the concept of creativity. And so in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And I think there are, a couple of things here. For one, it's the imagery of we are God's handiwork, which kind of brings up the image of God forming us or making us, kind of like a potter makes a pot, or a weaver makes a basket, or something like that. God has woven us into who we are. But he also has prepared us to do good works. Some of those obviously are spiritually based works. Some of those are taking care of one another, but I think he's given each of us a predisposition to be creative in our own unique ways.
Yeah.
So, thank you for listening to the Cutter's Notch podcast. Thank you, Andrea, for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
And, we will catch you next time.
The Cutter's Notch podcast can be found through any podcast listing provider. New episodes will drop approximately twice per month. Connect with Michael at the following email address: authormichaeldecamp@gmail.com. Again, that's authormichaeldecamp@gmail.com. Abandon Hope, a Cutter's Notch novel, can be purchased as an ebook, paperback, or hardcover through any bookstore, both online and local. Get your copy and start your own Cutter's Notch adventure today.